I'll read a few verses from the 15th chapter and a verse from the 16th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Now I beseech thee, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God by me, or for me, I'm sorry. If you were living in the days of the Apostle Paul, you would love to maybe journeyed with him, as did some others, Luke being one of them. Or if maybe the Apostle Paul was here today and he was saying, I'm going to go to such and such place tomorrow or next week and be there. Who wants to go with me? Well, I think all of us would be anxious, if we could, to go with. We would all love to have part of Paul's ministry, work. So he writes to the saints at Rome. Now, that's not the Catholic Church at Rome. That is the New Testament Church at Rome that became, unfortunately, the Catholic Church. You'll find that in the 2 Thessalonians. We'll talk about that another time. But that you strive together with me. Well, there are followers at the Apostle Paul today in the world. We here hope to be a follower of Christ and of the Apostles and Apostle Paul. That's all. We're not followers after any other men. But we have preachers, ministers, various places that are followers after Christ also. And so you, all of us, can have a part of the ministry of preaching the Word of God wherever it is going on by our prayers. Paul will write in the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, he will write to that church and say, pray for me that I may be bold in preaching. Verse 31 of the 15th chapter of Romans, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Now, Paul was particularly speaking about the offering that he was taking to the poor saints at Jerusalem when he says, my service, that it might be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. That's what coming together as a church is all about, that we might be refreshed and encouraged and instructed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Now to the 16th chapter of Romans, and I'm reading a few verses in the latter part of that chapter. Verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you. Thank the Lord, our God is able to keep us, to establish us, to guide us, to strengthen us. All of our troubles, all of our trials, whatever it may be that we may experience, as Paul will tell you in the 8th chapter of Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now to him that is able to establish you according to my gospel. Now it wasn't unique with Paul, but it was the gospel that he preached, which was of the same gospel that the Lord preached and all the other apostles preached. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now, there is part of the New Testament that is uniquely different from all the other part of the Bible in the Old Testament. First of all, it is the suffering of Messiah. Now, that was not completely a total mystery. That was set forth by the sacrifices that is also prophesied in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. But what was a particular ministry secret to the Jewish nation was the ingrafting or the part of Gentiles. That God would bring believers from out of the Gentile nations and that they would have equal standing with all the believers in the Old Testament. That is a great mystery and a marvelous work, and you'll find Paul talking about that in the third chapter of Ephesians. Verse 26. But now was made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets. Everything that we believe and preach is to be confirmed in the Word of God, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You can measure salvation. You can measure faith by obedience. True saving faith is manifested in obedience to the Word of God. And that pattern is set forth in the New Testament whereby we might measure our lives by it. Our God has laid out for us a path to walk in as His people. And may God bless us that day by day by the Holy Spirit of God, that we might be enabled by the Lord, guided by His grace, guided by His Word, that we might be able to walk in the path of righteousness according to the faith of God's elect people. Glad to have with us today Brother Nathan Guest from Memphis. He is going to be bringing God's message to us today. Brother Nathan Guest.
Y'all hear me? All right. Well, it is a blessing to be here to worship the Lord that we have just sung about and that Brother Herb has just expounded just for a few short moments there from Romans. It is good to be able to worship God with you. Turn with me to the very last book of the Bible, to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. You know, as we enter a new year, we look back on an old year and Lord willing, we remember God's past faithfulness. And then as we look on to a new year, we anticipate God's faithfulness. But I also want to remind you, Christian, believer in Jesus Christ, that with the new year in 2023, we are 1 year closer to the return of our victorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are 1 year closer. And that is not just a fairy tale that we just have to cling to get ourselves through life. That is reality. I want you to know that what we were just engaged in, the song service, is what we will be engaging in heaven. I want you to think of maybe your favorite soundtrack, maybe favorite piece of music. My wife loves those Jane Austen movies. She loves the soundtracks to Pride and Prejudice and Sense and Sensibility and loves the soundtrack to the Little Women movie. And I like the soundtrack to The Last of the Mohicans. That's a good movie. I like that soundtrack. But think of the most beautiful sound that you can think of in this life. Now, really, the most beautiful sound is when the saints are gathered singing praises to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But even that does not hold a candle to the sound of heaven. And so that's what I want to title the message today, Revelation chapter 5, Worthy is the Lamb, the Soundtrack of Heaven. Worthy is the Lamb, the Soundtrack of Heaven. Before I read, and I want to read the whole chapter. It's 14 verses, but we're going to mainly be focused on verse 12, and we'll look at a few verses before that, but mainly focused on verse 12. But before I do that, this is an important note. The book of Revelation can have a reputation of being kind of a scary book, maybe. It's got that apocalyptic language, and it's exciting, the end times and such, and people want to speculate on what this means and what that means. But what I want to remind you, and by no means am I an expert in any way on the book of Revelation, but what I do know is, here's the thesis statement of Revelation. You ready? Jesus wins, Satan loses. Jesus wins, Satan loses. That's the thesis statement of Revelation. It should actually be a book that is full of encouragement and hope for a child of God, for a believer in Jesus Christ, because it seems like today's day, we may feel like Asaph did in Psalm 73, where he in his carnal nature, kind of got envious of the wicked because it seems like the wicked are just winning. Wickedness is rampant. And as a Christian, we can get discouraged. Maybe we can even get just kind of apathetic and just want to bury our head in the sand. Well, did you know that this revelation from Jesus was given to possibly about a 90-year-old man who had been exiled to a prison colony for the heinous crime, and I say crime in air quotes, of being a Christian. For the crime of following Jesus Christ, this old man was banished to a prison colony called the Island of Patmos, the Isle of Patmos. He was banished by a wicked Roman emperor by the name of Domitian, who was so full of himself that he referred to himself as God. And he wanted everybody else to refer to Domitian, this evil emperor, as God. This is the context. This is a people that are under great persecution that John, when he receives this revelation, is writing to. So, remember, Revelation should serve as a reminder that Satan is a defeated foe, that Christ has secured the final victory for all of his children, and it gives us a peek into heaven. So let's read Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And I, John, saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue, and people, and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And everybody said,
Amen.
Praise God, Amen. Lord, I pray that you would bless this message, Lord. God, I pray that you would get me out of the way. And I pray that your word would speak, Lord. And I pray that Jesus Christ would be exalted. That Christ must increase, I must decrease. In Jesus' name, Amen. Worthy is the Lamb. That is the soundtrack of heaven.
Yeah.
I love this. In verse 11, when he says, I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You know how much number that is? That's a lot. A lot. Myriads. Innumerable is what the divines say. It's an innumerable amount of people. It is a company of angels that's joining the redeemed, the church of Jesus Christ, those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ in this exaltation. Think of Brother Josh. We'll forgive Brother Josh, but he's an Alabama fan. Think of if you've attended a football game, and there's thousands and thousands of people all chanting the same thing, whether it's like Roll Tide or defense or whatever they're chanting. It's a pretty powerful moment. Or when the band strikes up the fight song and everybody's clapping it together. It's a pretty powerful moment. It may give you chill bumps. It gives me chill bumps. That's a powerful moment. Well, that's just a little sliver. Of course, it doesn't even compare, but just on our terms, just a little sliver of comparison to what it must be like in heaven to join the saints and the angels in this song. I love this. This is just a side note. It says, they say with a loud voice. They sing this song with a loud voice. Let me ask you a question. Are you ever ashamed to talk about Jesus Christ in public? Have you ever been ashamed of Jesus at times? And when I say you, I'm pointing the finger right back at me too and asking myself the same question. Do we ever get nervous maybe to pray over a meal in public, maybe at a restaurant, or don't want everyone to know we are a Christian? Brothers and sisters, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I want this to give you boldness. Not obnoxiousness, but boldness, and lose any fear of man that you have to praise God, to publicly acknowledge our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because why? Because He is worthy. That's the title of this song is Worthy. Yeah. Worthy is the Lamb. I love this hymn, or this quote, by the hymn writer Joseph Addison. I believe the title of the hymn is Tender Care. He says, in all eternity to thee a grateful song I'll raise, but oh, eternity is too short to utter all thy praise. It's going to take us eternity to rightly utter the praise that this Lamb deserves. So who is the hero? What's the object of this song? Who is the object of this song? Who is the subject of this song? Well, first off, I've said it. The subject of the song is worthy. That means he is deserving. He is suitable for a reward. If you put in a full day's work, you are worthy to receive a paycheck. Children, even though your parents are sinners, did you know that they are worthy of you, of your obedience? That's the position God has placed parents in. They are worthy. We deserve, in that sense, the children to obey us. President, as wicked a man as he may be, is worthy of our respect. We don't have to like what he stands for, and I hope we don't. But his office is worthy of our respect. Well, this, who we are singing about, who we are getting a peek into heaven, he is worthy. Did you know that there is only one that's really worthy of worship. You know what it means to worship? The word actually means to kiss towards. And it has the idea of a dog kissing or licking his master's feet. He's getting down, that dog, getting down, humble, prostrate, licking his master's feet. That's the idea of worship, or you could say worth-ship. We are ascribing great worth to the King. Well, let me ask this question. Before I ask this, let me just repeat. This song is an exclusive song. We can't just sing this about any old leader, whether it's Joseph Smith or whoever it may be. This is an exclusive song. Yeah. Only the Lamb is worthy to be worshipped.
Yeah.
So, what are we ascribing great worth to? What do we really worship by our actions? Is it entertainment? Is it our job? Is it money? Is it family? Is it our appearance? What do we ascribe great worth to? Only Jesus Christ is worthy of our worship. And so, the object of this song, the subject, He's worthy, and He's referred to as a Lamb in verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. The word Lamb is mentioned 28 times in the book of Revelation. And it's referring to Jesus Christ in His innocence, in His humanity, in a sense in weakness. The word Lamb, there comes a connotation of sacrifice. We were just talking about Exodus 12 before the services. You'll remember in Exodus chapter 12, the Hebrew children are in Egyptian bondage. And God and Pharaoh are going back and forth, and really it's no match. God has it all under control the whole time. But humanly speaking, they're going back and forth. And God makes the decree that all the firstborn of Egypt are going to die. All the firstborn in Egypt are going to die. He's going to send the death angel to kill all the Egyptian firstborn. Boy, girl, man, a beast. So how are the Hebrew children, how are their firstborn going to be saved from this? They were given explicit instructions to get a lamb and get the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts. And when the death angel came to kill all the firstborn Egyptians, he's going to know to pass over the houses that have the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. Well, I asked my 8-year-old this on the trip, and she got it right. How do you get blood from a lamb? You got to kill it. You got to slay it. Worthy is the lamb that was slain. Brothers and sisters, this lamb was a man, the God-man. He was the Word. He is the Word made flesh. The God of all eternity made flesh. This is why Brother Herb, I know, is so passionate about this. This is why the incarnation is so vitally important. It is so vitally important that you know and understand that God actually became a human being. Without the incarnation, you and I rightly go to hell. There is no hope for us if God did not become man to be slain for our redemption. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission. There would be no forgiving, no atoning for sin without the shedding of blood. just like there would have been no Passover those houses if not for the blood on the doorposts. Isaiah 53:7 tells us that He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. To the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb. But brothers and sisters, there is, as Revelation 5:9 tells us, there is redemption through His blood. Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1 would tell us about in whom we have redemption. Through what? Through His blood. The blood of the Lamb. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ was perfect. Jesus Christ never committed a sin. But He was treated as a sinner for your sins. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He was treated as a sinner. He was slaughtered, slain, to cover your sins. And in turn, what do we get? His righteousness. The pure, clean robes of righteousness. 1 Peter would tell us, as he's talking, this is another context, really, as my father says, really the whole New Testament is in a context of persecution. And Peter is writing to those groups who are the scattered saints in Bithynia and Asia and Cappadocia and wherever else. They're scattered abroad for fear of persecution. Well, 1 Peter tells us, chapter 1, verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold," your money can't save you, brothers and sisters. Your status can't save you. Your family cannot save you. Your good works, the best you have to offer, is a dirty rag. It's filthy rags. "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation," or your vain way of life, your empty lifestyle, "received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ," as a what? "As a lamb without blemish and without spot." Brothers and sisters, they're singing about the one who purchased your redemption. That's what the myriads and the thousands and ten thousands and thousands, the innumerable amount of people, of angels and saints, are singing. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain for our redemption." This is why John could say, when he sees Jesus walking by there in John chapter 1, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," the sins of the world. Behold, pause, consider, look at Him. Glory in Him, the Lamb of God. Brothers and sisters, this is important because we are sinners. We are dead in trespasses and sins. There is none righteous, no, not one. None that doeth good. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that God created man good and very good. It says 7 times in Genesis chapter 1, some sort of form of, "and He saw that it was good." This isn't God's fault. It's our fault. And we know that in our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam, we received his nature, his original sin. When he fell, when Eve and Adam fell, we took on that sinful nature. And it's not just original sin. We love sinning too much, don't we? We enjoy sinning too much. We are dead in our sins, and there is no hope for you if this Lamb did not become a man and die. But praise God, we know that He didn't stay dead. Sunday morning came. He rose again. That's why we worship, kids. That's why we worship on the Lord's Day. It, John tells us in chapter 1, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Listen, Sunday is a day of celebration. I know in our carnal nature, we get in our sinful nature, we get tired. Sorry, y'all, I'm scratchy. I've been coughing a little bit. I don't have anything. I'm fine, but I've been coughing a little bit, and maybe sometimes we don't feel like going to church, and the kids are crying, and the preacher goes on too long. Right, Brother Herb?
Yeah.
Sometimes we may not feel like a celebration. But brothers and sisters, this is a celebration. This is a reminder of triumph, of victory. So in this cold world, in this sinful world where they want to call good evil and evil good, and where it's a world full of chaos, because why? Satan's the author of confusion. In a world full of chaos, and remember, we're not the only ones. Remember what John was under. He was banished to this prison colony. In a world full of chaos, we remember and proclaim that, as the songwriter says, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Hallelujah. Well, I want us to note, back in Revelation 5, I want us to note the seven attributes for which the saints and angels praise this Lamb. You know, seven in the Bible is a symbol of perfection. It's a number of perfection or completion. So I think it's only right that in verse 12, they take seven different ways with which to heap praise onto this Lamb that was slain for our redemption. One of the Greek dictionaries calls this a heptad of praise. Hepta is seven. This is a heptad of praise. And what they're doing, and what you and I are to be doing, whether we're singing or whatever we're doing, is we are doing what Moses said in Deuteronomy 32, ascribe ye greatness to our God. Or what Job said in Job 36, he says, ascribe righteousness to my Maker. And David in Psalm 68 says, ascribe ye strength unto God. Of course, they're not, here, God, I'm giving you the strength. No. What he's saying is, give God what he's due.
Yes.
Give God what he already has, in a sense. We're telling God, tell God what he already knows. God, you are worthy. And so this is the heptad of praise. Verse Revelation 5, they say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Dunamis, where we get the word dynamite from. That dynamite power. In Revelation 5, verse 6, it seems to where they talk about, and I beheld the one who was worthy to open this book. And now this book, Brother Herb will come by and do a much better job and clean up any mess I make. I believe this book is simply just the decrees and the counsel of God.
Yeah,
it is,
yeah.
God, as my father would call it, it's just God's book of history.
Yeah.
It's the secret counsel of God. And so nobody's worthy to open this book, of course, except, and John is weeping about this. What is in this book? But then, one of the elders says to him in verse 5, weep not. There is one that's worthy to open this book, that knows the counsels of God, because why? He is God. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So in verse 6, where it talks about this Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns. Well, remember, seven is the number of perfection and completion. And horns, that denotes, that has the connotation of power and force. What is a rhino? Or my boys love animals. They have a book that has 1,000 animals, and they love any type of animals. They love rhinos, and when we fight, we act like we're animals. If they're a buffalo or a rhino, this is how they're coming after their daddy. They're coming with their head down, charging into my stomach. It has the idea of force, of power. This Lamb has seven horns. He is all powerful. He is, yes, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the mighty God, Isaiah 9:6, the El Gabor. He is the conquering King. Paul would tell us in 1 Corinthians 1:24 that Christ is the power of God. Matthew 28:18, all power has been given to Him in heaven and earth. He upholds all things by the word of His power. By Him all things were created. He actually raised dead people.
Yeah.
When He said, when Jesus said, this Lamb, when He said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus was actually a dead man. He was starting to decompose. He was stinking. And Jesus rose him from the grave. He declared, Lazarus, come forth, and he came forth. That's because He has power. He healed the sick. He made the lame to walk. He actually spit into this mud and rubbed it on a blind man's eyes, and he could see. That's power. That is dunamis, dynamite, power. He holds the keys of death and hell. It means He has the power over both. He has the power. He is sovereign over hell and death. In His letter to in the letter to the church at Philadelphia in Revelation 3, it would say that what He opens, He has the key of David. He's a king. He has authority. What He opens, nobody can shut. And what He shuts, nobody can open. He has power. He is, Isaiah 63 would tell us, He is mighty to save. He saves to the uttermost. He finished the work that the Father gave Him to do, John 17:4. He even predicted. Matter of fact, I want to read this. John 10:17. Jesus says, therefore, I'm breaking into the context here, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus, this Lamb, even had power over His own death and resurrection. That's power. So brothers and sisters, worship Him, praise Him for His power. Join with the angels and saints in this song, Worthy is the Lamb, and praise Him for He is power. For His power. He is the Lord God, and He is omnipotent. Pontocrator. He has sway. He holds sway over all things. He has power. Praise Him for His power. Well, in verse 12, in the second of this heptad of praise, worthy is the Lamb to receive power and riches. This lowly Lamb, this poor, weak, humble servant. He's the heir of all things, Hebrews tells us. He is the heir of all things. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And as Brother Ray Hoggard says, He also owns the hills that the cattle are grazing on. Meaning He owns it all. Ada was memorizing this in school. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns it all. He is rich, brothers and sisters. He is also, praise God, He's rich in goodness. He's rich in long-suffering. He's rich in forbearance. Ephesians 2:4 would tell us, praise God, after it says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's you and I. We were followers of Satan, the prince of the power of the air. But God, who is rich in mercy. He is rich in mercy. He is full of grace and truth. Oh, may this make His humanity, His incarnation, that much more precious to us. Because yes, Philippians would tell us, that he, let me just turn there. That's right. But made himself, thank you, but made himself of no reputation. This is God of all eternity. The second person in the Trinity made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is the God who made all things and owns all things, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. You know, I can't imagine, because I've been a sinner for as long as I've been alive, and in the 9 months where I was pre-born. I can't quite imagine what a humiliation it must have been for God to stoop himself to dwell with men, to dwell among sinners and become a man himself, and to experience everything a human being experiences, except, of course, he did it all without sin. But, oh, what degradation, in a sense, that would have been. What humiliation that would have been. The one who is rich. So, brothers and sisters, praise him for his power. Praise him for his riches. Number three in this heptad of praise. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom. He is wisdom personified. Proverbs 8 tells us, we read or listened to Proverbs 8 on my phone this morning. He says in Proverbs 8, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. When Paul says that he is the power of God in 1 Corinthians, he also says he is the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ knows all things. The Lamb of God talks about, when I was talking about the seven horns, it also says he has those seven eyes. And that seems to mean, what it, again, is the number seven, that number of perfection and completion. And then eyes, what can eyes do? They see everything. He sees all and he knows all, brothers and sisters. He is wisdom. In him, in Christ, is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The psalmist would tell us that his understanding, Psalm 147:5, that his understanding is infinite. And in his wisdom, he set his love, God the Father set his love upon a people before the world began, not by works of righteousness that we did, not he looked down before time and knew there wasn't any good works that could save us. Again, our very best is a dirty rag. But it was his wisdom that chose a people, that sent his son to become man, to purchase that people. And then the Holy Spirit comes and regenerates, applies the effects of election and redemption to that people. That's our only hope, brothers and sisters. So let's join in with the angels in this song, this Worthy is the Lamb song, and praise him for his wisdom. Praise him for his power and riches and wisdom and strength. And again, strength and power kind of go hand in hand. But I love Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth to it and is safe. He is strong. Again, he is mighty to save. You ever get scared? Kids, you ever get scared when it thunders? We had some storms last week. We got about 6 inches of rain. It was thundering and lightning in the middle of the night. That could be kind of scary. And then as we get older, there's other things that can happen in life that can be scary. We have loved ones that may die, that get diseased. And again, it seems like, what in the world is going on in Washington, D.C. or in Jackson or in Nashville or all around us? What is going on? I feel so weak.
But in your weakness, He is strong. Praise Him for His strength. How did it say that, how does Moses say in Deuteronomy that this mighty God, this Lamb, freed the Hebrew children? It says with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And in a sense, that's how He saves you and I, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. How does this mighty conqueror crush the head of the serpent and finally defeats Satan? I long for that day. It's already happened. He's already a defeated foe. I understand that. But in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them, he's a deceiver, Brother David. He's the father of lies. He's the author of confusion. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's a mighty God that can do that. That's a strong Lamb that can do that. That's the Lion of the tribe of Judah that can do that. But for today, what does Paul tell the Ephesians where to find their strength? In Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What are we told Paul would tell the Corinthians? What are we told that where our weapons come from to fight in this battle? Our weapons aren't carnal. They're not fleshly weapons. No, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so we can resist Satan. Not in our strength, but in the strength of the One who has all strength, the Omnipotent One, the Lamb. And so we can join with the songwriter when he says, "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim," and it is grim. The prince of darkness is grim. "But we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him." Brothers and sisters, praise Him for His strength. He has power. He has riches, He has wisdom, He has strength and honor. And honor is just has a sense of value, of reverence. This is the highest value. He is to be honored. Why? He's a king. He's a king. He outranks all others. These are the angels that are honoring Him, that are singing. Because that's how you treat royalty, brothers and sisters. He is the firstborn of every creature. That simply means He is first in rank. He has preeminence. First place over everything and everybody. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He's eternal. He's immortal. He's invisible. He's the only wise God. Praise God. And you know, I read in Philippians, the one who has thought it not robbery to be equal with God, excuse me, but made himself of no reputation. Wherefore, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, Philippians 2:9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That's how you treat royalty.
That's honor. So brothers and sisters, praise Him for the honor that He is due. Praise Him for the honor that He is due. And these last two, they can really just be put into one, I believe, in this heptad of praise. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Well, glory, that's the word doxo, where we get doxology. And that's what they're doing here. This is a doxology. This is a thing that only belongs to God. Remember what I said? This song is an exclusive song. This is not just for anybody. What did Paul do when people tried to worship him? Don't worship me. What did John say? I believe in John chapter 1, I'm not the light. I've been sent to bear witness to the light. And that's what we as ministers should be. We are witness bearers. And not just ministers, Christians. You're a witness bearer to the light. To give Him what? To give Him glory. That's a thing that only God belongs, that only belongs to God. And then blessing. That's where we get the word, actually, where we get the word eulogy from. But trust me, we're not reading a eulogy of a dead person. He's not dead anymore. He rose again. And so He deserves blessing. He deserves for us to bless Him. That just simply means heap praise on Him. Brag on Him. What is our boast in? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's where we get from Ephesians 1, what Brother Jimmy Barber calls the oratorio of praise. Blessed be the Father and God of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's just a way to brag on Jesus. And that's what I hope this message has done. I want to lift high the name of Jesus Christ. I want to give you a peek into heaven and to remind you that you are 1 year closer to joining in the soundtrack of heaven. This is a song that will never end. You know, even my favorite songs, even my favorite hymns, I can get tired of them sometimes. I love "Awake, Awake, the Lord Jehovah Reigns." But when the kids call it out, you know, sometimes twice a service, sometimes you can even get tired of that. This song will never get stale. It will never grow old, because Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. He is the destroyer of Satan's vile head. He has defeated death by dying, but He rose again in triumph, and He's coming back in that great second advent. He is Lord. And so I just want to close very simply by saying, worship God. Yes. Worship God. Yes. That's why you were created. You were made to be a worshiper. Yeah. And the Lamb that was slain for your redemption is the only one worthy of worship. But if you were here and you have never bowed the knee to King Jesus, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit, because it's the only the Holy Spirit that can do this, that the Holy Spirit would so change you and so come into your heart, call you out of darkness into His marvelous light, and then guess what? You join into the song as well. This soundtrack of praise, this song, "Worthy is the Lamb." And so let me close by quoting this, not quoting, but reading this hymn. Or this last verse of this hymn by a lady named Ann Cousin. "The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown He giveth, but on His pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. Worthy is the Lamb." God bless you. May the Lord add His blessings.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
What were they doing? Brother Nathan read, what were they doing in heaven? Singing. singing is the only thing that you are doing here on earth that you can do in heaven. And the Lord sings with us. Zephaniah chapter 3. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, to Zion, let thine hands be slack. Let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. It's a shame what has been made out of religious music. It's a dishonoring to God. Worship is not for our entertainment. Worship is not for our entertainment, nor is it to attract attention to us. It is to exalt Christ. Thank you, Brother Nathan. It is to exalt the Lord. True worship is regenerated people singing praises to their Redeemer. That's true worship. Thank you for the message. May God inspire our hearts that we may be encouraged to worship the Redeemer, the Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our Savior. In Psalms, I'll read a verse from Psalms, the 47th chapter. It says, sing, sing, sing praises to the Lord. For the Lord is King. The Lord reigneth. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praise. So, what should we do? Take your hymnal, please, and turn to the hymn that says, praise the Lord. Praise Him, praise Him. I forget the, don't have the number. I'll call it out to you here in a minute. What number? Number 64. Let's stand together and sing. Sing praises to the Lord. Number 64.